So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to Revolver!
Right now, right? That's what you say. We get it by now.
I like a girl.
They were searching for answers.
There's Phil, baby!
What they found...
I can see your daddy in you, too.
That's the truth.
...was their voice.
I want to be a singer, and so does Piper.
Featuring WWE legend Shawn Michaels and Willie Nelson. Pure Country, Pure Heart on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital.
Hello.
Yeehaw, hooray.
Yeah, I was about to say, we should not do our normal intros, I feel. I feel like I should say howdy, and what did you say?
Yeehaw, hooray.
Yeah, sure, that, whatever. Braden Harrington here, alongside the man, the legend, the myth, Dave, bartender Dave. Dave was
Hillbilly bartender.
Yeah, Hillbilly Dave is what we're going with today. What would be my cowboy name then?
Cowpoke? Cowpoke Braden Harrington.
Wow. Okay, cool. Great. Love it.
I used to always get the cowpoke meals from Smitty's.
Oh, geez. You are a country bumpkin?
I'm from a small town in Alberta, baby.
We are
well,
here.
Well, it's not a small town.
As you could probably tell, we are not John and Way. We nope. made a joke on our show, which is What's Next?
Every Thursday, right?
Every Thursday. We made a joke on our show saying, hey, if John and Way ever go away, we will review this new movie that's coming out this summer called Pure Country, Pure Heart. And, well, John and Way were like, were you serious about that? Because we will take you up on that. And we rolled with the punches, and here we are, the biggest country music fans that you could find on the Law Podcast family.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You said pure country, pure heart.
Pure country, pure heart, Dave.
Because I watched No Country for Old Men.
Oh, I
which is really good.
Oh, I've actually never seen that movie, so no spoilers, Dave.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, last time I told someone I never saw that movie, they spoiled it for me. All I know is the bad guy wins.
Oh my God, does he ever.
I think I just spoiled it for more people. So I don't know about you. Country music is a weird thing for me because I don't hate it. I love all music. Every type of music, every genre of music has its place in this world.
Oh yeah, well, good music is good music no matter what kind it is. Like, there's so much good stuff out there. There's a lot of crap too, but I grew up Alberta and I grew up country music, so I was kind of right into this movie right off the bat.
Okay, I was expecting, now Shawn Michaels was in the advertisements for this movie on all WWE programming. He was in another movie, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, which I feel like we're gonna have to do eventually now, just because out of principle. But we watched this one and me and you were like, oh, this is gonna be this awful movie. This movie wasn't even that bad.
No, it wasn't.
To be honest with you.
It was quite enjoyable. Don't hate me for that, people.
Yeah, I really wish I could. The part of the live audio wrestling podcasts is our honesty, and my honesty is like, yeah, I can't even really shit on this movie that much.
There are some plot holes in it, but
oh, there's plenty of plot holes. The thing is, it's like about country music, and it's based around this movie from 1992 with George Strait called Pure
the
Country.
Original.
Yeah, it's called Pure Country.
This is the third installment, right?
So they made like a crappy, like straight to DVD sequel that doesn't tie in with the movie, the original.
Yeah, it has none of the original people in it, and neither does this one, I guess, too.
And then this one is a third one that, again, it's just like, it's just going off the name, Pure Country, Pure Heart. So, we watched this movie. Dave, what are some of your favorite country artists, if you have any? I mean, I like Florida Georgia Line. So,
I'm not too well versed in the newer country, as you will. But I really like. I think my favorite would probably be Townes Van Sant. He's a he was just a fantastic, more of a storyteller. Like, he's a brilliant, brilliant guitarist, brilliant singer songwriter. But my favorite, I think, would probably be Steve Earle. And like, he was really big back in the 80s. He's still pumping out good music, very, very political nowadays, but just amazing. And his son, Justin Townes Earle, is just phenomenal as well. He's actually outdoing his father right now.
I'd have to say Double J, Jeff Jarrett, would have to be my favorite country singer of all time.
He didn't sing that song.
The Roadie. The Roadie's my favorite. I like Johnny Cash. I'm a little old school.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, everyone likes Johnny Cash. I do like some new country. The movie is based in Tennessee, and they go to Nashville. Have you ever been to Tennessee or Nashville or anywhere that's super country in the United States?
No, I haven't. I haven't had the pleasure yet. I've only been to, like, in the States, I've been to Buffalo and Las Vegas. That's it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you went
from
0
to 100 real quick.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, like Nashville, again, I'm not a huge country music guy, but the music scene there is so alive and so, as you saw in this movie.
Oh, for sure.
And it's pretty interesting. I went to the Johnny Cash Museum in Nashville, and then they have a shop in the front. And it sells Johnny Cash t-shirts, Johnny Cash CDs, Johnny Cash guitars, Johnny Cash everything.
Nice.
I went in January, and my lips kept getting chapped. And I was in the Johnny Cash Museum, and I didn't want to pay like the $15 to go into the actual exhibit, which is like ridiculous. It's probably like $15 or $20. Instead, I saw that they were selling, this is not a joke, Johnny Cash lip balm. And it was vanilla orange flavored Johnny Cash lip balm.
This is not true, is it?
Oh, this is 100% true. And it was about $4.25 American. I proceeded to buy this, open the chapstick in the store, apply the chapstick, healed my luscious lips, and then thought to myself, if Johnny Cash knew that they were selling vanilla orange lip balm in his store, he'd be rolling right now. He'd be rolling. Yeah. It ain't no grave that could hold him down. He would get up, he would take a guitar and smash the MF-er who thought, hey, let's sell vanilla orange flavored chapstick in the Johnny Cash Memorial Museum thing.
Now, was it a tub or was it a stick?
It was a stick.
And do you still have it?
I literally had it up until like about a month or so ago. Dave, I'm not going to lie to you. This chapstick was delicious. It was my favorite chapstick.
So it's kind of like a creamsicle flavor type thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's just weird because it had Johnny Cash on the side. Why?
You'd think that it would have been like whiskey flavored or something. Keep it real.
Oh, baby. That's exactly. Wow. Why didn't they hire you for marketing? So I just thought that was strange. Like, you can, like, listen, we're wrestling fans. They'll put wrestling logos on anything and try to sell it to you.
Amen to that.
So I just thought that was strange, because then I would go everywhere and people would be like, oh, I would talk about Nashville. I'd be like, well, I got this little ditty from Nashville. And then I pull out a chapstick that has nothing to do with Nashville at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell? So there you go. Go to Nashville. Dave, I guess we should start talking about this movie. It really has nothing to do with wrestling.
No, not whatsoever.
This is a wrestling podcast. And if you still are listening to us at this time, you're like, hey, I want to know, you know, about Shawn Michaels and his one of his second acting movie, his second movie that he's put out.
The second one that I know of. I don't. He might have done more beforehand.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. Well, let's talk about pure country, pure heart, and let's not talk about wrestling at all.
Okay.
Cool. Great. Like I said earlier, the movie takes place in Tennessee. And the movie focuses around the two main characters, I guess it's safe to say, Ada and Piper.
Mm-hmm.
They are two teenage sisters who they live with their mama and their grandma.
It's Meemaw.
Yeah,
Grandma Meemaw.
Meemaw.
Come on, you got to get down with it. And this Piper Spencer character,
yes,
the younger of the daughters.
Yes.
or sisters. Her the person who plays her, Cozy Zuseldorf.
Wow.
She was in the Dolphin Tales movies. I don't know if you ever saw that. But she's also a singer, and you have to check out this one song. She's on this one house band. They're from, I think it's Sweden. They're called Vicetone.
Okay.
And you got to check out Nevada. And she sings on it.
She actually sings?
Phenomenal. Oh, she's a fantastic singer. Every single person that was in this movie is a legit singer.
Oh, like if you look it up. That makes sense.
Yep. Like Catherine, Bosch, who does Ada, she's a singer. Justin Sloan, she's a singer. Mark Dunn, she's a real singer, too. She was in Jumanji.
Yes, she was.
Yeah. Yeah, she was the young Sarah Whittle.
That's right. Wow, look at Dave.
You should see. I've got everything.
You got pages and notes on this movie? How many times did you watch this movie, Dave?
Twice.
Okay.
Fair. I just finished before we started this.
Okay. For the second time?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Fair. So it's really fresh in your mind.
Oh, sure. Okay. It sure is fresh.
Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, gave this movie a 67% out of 100. Dave, that's a passing grade.
Oh yeah, they got really good reviews online everywhere you go. If you go on our Twitter feed that we've got going for this, and you've hashtag Pure Country Pure Heart, I clicked on it thinking that it was just going to be us talking about it. There's hundreds of tweets about this movie.
Hundreds,
like dozens. Hundreds, like dozens. Okay, there's just us.
But. That's just tweets about our I posted feedback for this show. No one wanted to talk about it.
Come on, we got two.
Yeah. Sure. We'll get to that. Ada and Piper, they live in Tennessee with their mama and meemaw. They don't have a father figure in their life because, as we are told, as it's revealed, that their father was serving in Iraq and was under attack with a grenade and died. He saved a man's life doing so, but he actually died in Iraq. And they keep wanting to ask their mama about their dad, but she is reluctant to go into details. It just hurts too much.
Yeah,
she can't tell her daughters about their father. The plot kind of kicks into gear. There's a water burst in their storage, and they find a bunch of stuff that has to do with their dad, and they find this. Somehow find this link to this man who their dad saved this man's life. So they're going to try to figure out to try to maybe talk to this guy. But
because it was they found all kinds of records, and including like his Silver Star, it's the third highest personal decoration for valor in combat, and it's reserved for members of the USAF for gallantry against the enemies of the United States. And like it they found out the name and location of Henry LaRue Monroe. Yes, I believe his name was. And he was right, like you said, right next to him when he died. And he only lives 20 minutes north of them.
And they never knew.
Sorry, 20 miles north of them.
Because it's Nashville, yeah, sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
They basically are like, hey, Piper and Ada, they're like, hey, we should go try to talk to this guy. So they say, okay, but we can't tell Mama Mima. So they lie to their mom and grandma and say, hey, we need a pie because we're going over to a friend's house, going to ride his horse.
His paint horse.
There's a lot of horses in this movie.
There's a lot of pie too.
Yep. Pause. They go and they're gonna go over, and there's a scene in the movie that actually makes no sense, but it actually stuck with me, so I'm gonna bring it up. They have a friend who they beg to drive them everywhere. She is a young lady as well, and she's a photographer. Mm-hmm. And she's taking their photos just to have like some photos of them in front of a horse before they actually just so they can show their mama like, hey, we are actually with a horse. The photographer is taking photos of the sisters, and the one sister, Piper, is like just doing the biggest smile in every photo. And the girl, Justine, is like, hey, you don't have to smile. Like, stop. Just act casual. Act natural. And Piper goes, well, what if it's natural for me to smile? Thought that was very, very touching because Dave, I used to do this photo face where people would be like, all right, pose. I do like this open face, like surprised smile thing. I used to do it
I've seen it many times.
I do it in a lot of photos. And some people are like, why are you always doing that? Like, just act natural. I'm like, that is natural. Smiling is my favorite. F off. They go to the, was it like a vet, a memorial thing?
It's like a retirement home for veterans.
Yeah, and, so hospital. So they go there and they're looking for this man Monroe, and instead they meet this other senior man. Is that the right way? I don't know how to. I don't want to. You know.
Can I field this one here?
Yes.
Because this gentleman, C.J. Sims, was the character's name, and he played a Korean vet that survived. He survived the Korean War,
so
and now
he's older. Yes.
Oh yeah, he's much older. He's very old. And did you realize who this was? Who played him?
No, not at all.
Is an actor by the name of Ronnie Cox, and he's been around for ages. And like, okay, just listen to some of the things that he was in. Like, he was my standout for the His acting ability far surpassed everybody.
Yeah, he was the best in this movie.
He was phenomenal. But he's been in Dexter, Stargate, SG-1. He was the president at Murder at the 1600. He was on L.A. Law, Star Trek, TNG. He was he played the French ambassador, I think it was, in Total Recall. He had a reoccurring role on St. Elsewhere. RoboCop, he was Dick Jones, the guy who wanted nothing to do with RoboCop.
We should
wanted
review
his
RoboCop,
Ed 209.
Let's
yeah,
just review RoboCop.
He was in Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2,
okay.
Family Ties. He went far back as Deliverance. He was in Deliverance and Bonanza. This guy is a legit acting phenomenon.
Okay.
He was just great. I loved him.
That's pretty crazy. Actually, I did think this guy had one of the best acting. Later on, he comes back in the movie, but he is telling these girls like, the pie smells lovely, because they had brought this pie that they were going to give Monroe. And he goes, your pie smells lovely. What is it? He starts talking to them. He's just being nice. He's not being a creepy old man at all.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hey, do you girls sing?
Jeez, do you understand how that sounded?
What? He's not a creepy man at all?
It sounds
he's
not, like, he's
not actually.
Pie smells nice. He wasn't
God. Why did they let us do this? The creepy old, he's not creepy, sorry. The old man who is not creepy, and I'm going out of my way to make sure everyone knows he's not creepy. He says, oh, you girls are singers. Well, I sing and I write songs. Do you girls write songs? And they're like, yeah, we like to write songs, you know. We're not like professional or anything like that. They get cut off. The man says, next. They go, nice to meet you. They go and ask to meet this man, Monroe. He says he's busy. They can't go meet him. Then it turns out the man they're talking to is Monroe, and he is in a wheelchair, and he rudely rolls away.
Yeah, he wants nothing to do with
him. He goes, I don't want to talk to you girls.
Yeah, it must be like from the pain of what happened, and that it just didn't want anything to do with the girls.
The other old man, he says, well, you know, since you didn't give him the pie, you can give me the pie. Come with me to my room. They go to his room, and he's got like a piano, he's got guitars, he's got everything. And they're like, wow, this is pretty interesting. And he goes, yeah, like, come back anytime. So they go, we will. So they give him the pie and they go home.
Mm-hmm.
They go home and they ask Mama.
Well, no, and just to back up there, CJ Sims says that he will work on Monroe and try to get a bit more information
out
of him and
you know,
come back and see him.
Bring me a rhubarb pie.
Yeah. Strawberry rhubarb.
Rhubarb pie, and maybe I'll talk to this buddy of mine, and maybe, you know, he'll talk to you. They say, sure. Well, I'll get some things out of him, essentially.
Yeah.
So they go home. They ask Mama about their daddy, like always, and she says, well, I'll tell you something about your daddy. He likes saltwater taffy. Oh, Mama, everybody likes saltwater taffy. Dave, do you like saltwater taffy?
I've never tried saltwater taffy, to tell you the truth.
Oh, my God. Meemaw says, well, she doesn't like it because it takes the fillings right out of my teeth.
No, I'm never going to try it now then. I got a ton of those.
Yeah. it's fantastic treat from down south, Dave. It's delicious. You should try it. Eventually, they go back to the old folks' home, the vet senior's home, and they're looking for their friend CJ. And this is when they find him singing to the whole place on stage with a whole country band. And Dave, it's lit, Dave. It's so lit. It's crazy. It's like he's singing with his whole band, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and that's his actual voice. He's an accomplished singer as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You did your research on this movie, Dave.
Oh, I really did. Yeah.
And so like they show up, and they're like, they're amazed that this guy is just singing on stage and killing it. They say, wow, we got to stick around and talk to him again. He closes off his set and says, sorry, folks, we got to shut down. Something about bathroom breaks and folks having too much fun. And then he gets his strawberry rhubarb pie. And then he tells them information about their father that he learned from Monroe. And he says, Well, your daddy used to work in Nashville, and he used to be a singer. And they're like, whoa, 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 what? Our dad used to be a singer? We want to be a singer. He says, well, you should go to Nashville, because there is where he worked. So go talk to this guy, and he'll sort you out. And the name of this guy was so strange. What was the name of this club owner that they had to go meet?
It was Shirt Sleeves McCoy at the Mockingbird Lounge. And now, here's another little tidbit.
Yes.
Shirtsleeve Monroe was played by Ivan Neville, who's the son of the great Aaron Neville.
Not like Neville Neville, not like the Cruiserweight.
No, like the Neville brothers.
I don't know who those are.
Like, oh my God, Bird on a Wire. Remember that movie, Bird on a Wire? Like, he sung like a bird. Like, no, oh, he's, okay. He's a legend, man. Come on. Oh God, I'm too old for this.
This movie's clearly lit. So
stop saying lit.
I can't. This movie is just too lit, Dave.
The greatest part of this whole scene was it was the line of the movie that told the whole story of the whole movie. And that's when CJ Sims says, if you're ever going to get anywhere in life, you got to go places you've never been before. Mm-hmm. And I think that totally strung everything together. It was brilliantly placed and so beautifully delivered. I really, really enjoyed this scene.
He's not wrong. I learned a lot from this movie. I'm telling you, there's little lines in this movie that touched home.
Definitely. I kind of get the feeling we got a bit too excited for this.
We're way too excited about this movie. No one else watched it. So they go to Nashville. They go to the Mockingbird. They are on the main strip there. Nashville, by the way, is lit, Dave. I've been there. It's fantastic.
Can we go together one day?
Let's do it. Let's party.
All right.
We'll go to the Honky Tonk. Three levels, three different floors of different bands playing live music, dancing. It's crazy. I loved it. And the food there. Oh, my God. They go to the Mockingbird. And shirts.
There actually is a Mockingbird in Nashville as well.
Yes, yes. It's pretty popular, actually. There's a few birds in not like actual cafes. And they go, they talk to Shirt Sleeves, and he basically says, your daddy started out as a cleaner, then he was like a bartender, then a singer, and then he started singing and writing songs with Mark Dunn, who is in this movie a fictional famous singer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, Mark Dunn? What you talking about? No, Mark Dunn. Sounds great. I went over the fact that they met a young man who helped them out to meet Shirt Sleeves named Declan, who will come into play later on in the movie because he's a cute young boy and our main character is a cute young girl. So you just know they're going to be cute together. So next time they go home and they learn all this information and they're like, wow, like we need to become singers. If daddy was a singer, well, then damn. And Ada wants to go back to Nashville to meet this this young lad named Declan. So they go, and they see him performing in Nashville. They talk to him. His band name is called Kitchen Backsplash.
I thought it was the Tennessee Whiskey Outhouse.
No, it was... it was, we are Kitchen Backsplash.
Follow, you can't get a worse name than that.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram is what he said. I swear, he sounded like me at the end of every What's Next. He said, we are Kitchen Backsplash. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. She goes, cool. Can we get each other's numbers? I'll follow you, Kitchen Backsplash. They're probably Snapchatting all night long.
Wait. That was incorrect. Declan gets her number. She forgets to get his.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
That's why she was waiting. She was waiting for him to call.
Listen, it's 2017. A girl can ask a boy for a number. A boy can ask a girl for a number. It doesn't matter. And they're texting. I know it. It's lit. Yes. It's lit. Next time he says, hey, next time you guys come, we'll go see, Mark Dunn. We'll go find a show and you got to sing for me. She's like, yeah, sure. Next thing you know, guess what? They're going to Nashville. They're going to see the legendary female country singer in this movie, fictitious character.
Yes.
Mark Dunn. And this is Mark spelt with a Q instead of a K, right?
And very nicely done, though. Mark, I like that. Oh, and Dunn. I said Dunn.
Mark Dunn. I just like saying it because they say it like 90 times in this movie. Mm-hmm. Mark Dunn. They go watch her show and they're amazed. They're mesmerized by her performance and her singing. Great country singer.
Also her voice as well.
Yes, she is a singer as well. Yes. Everyone apparently is a singer.
Makes Laura sense. Bell Bundy.
She is fantastic. they go, they're like, you know, screw this. We want to meet her. So they said, okay, we'll try to make this happen. And Dave, this is it, Dave. This is it. Why we're here, Dave.
The big reveal.
This is it, Dave. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Cue the music.
Sorry.
I'm just a sexy boy. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, in his cowboy.
Who they legit call a can of whoop-ass.
He looks scary and intimidating here. He, guess what his character in this movie is? He plays Mark Dunn's handler, her man, her bodyguard, her dude.
Yep.
The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. He is with Mark Dunn, and they're in the VIP section. And these kids are trying to get his attention to come over and let them in. So they start whistling at him. He gives them a few dirty looks. He comes over, and he's about to literally whoop their ass. He goes, you got something to say to me? Shawn Michaels is very intimidating when he's not in assless chaps. He says, you got something to say to me? They say, listen, we're just a bunch of kids.
I loved how when he said that line, and Declan goes, no. I mean, yes.
Because he's scary. He looked great. They say, hey, we just want to talk to Mark Dunn. It's something about our daddy. And he goes, oh, about your daddy. Okay, hold on. So he goes over to Mark Dunn. She says, yeah, bring them over. So he goes and gets them. They start talking to Mark Dunn. She starts telling them, like, oh, yeah, I knew your daddy. His favorite singer was Willie Nelson. And they say, yeah, we knew that. She goes, well, my favorite singer is Willie Nelson, too. I was close with your daddy. Clearly, there's something that's going on between Mark Dunn and their father that we don't know about just yet. Mm-hmm. Something suspicious. Shawn Michaels cuts them off and says, hey, girls, you say you sing? Well, sing us a song right now. Shawn Michaels does not take no shit from anyone. If you say you're a singer, you're going to sing.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't see. Why would you do that?
Yeah, he was kind of a dick. It's like, hey, you're a famous person. So nice to meet you. And you knew our father. It's great. Oh, man. And he's just like, hey, sing. Yeah. Hey, stop. Sing. What are you doing? So Mark Dunn's like, oh, you can't just make them sing on the spot. Like, you can't just do that. And they're going, no. Sean's right. He's a WWE Hall of Famer, for crying out loud. We will sing for this man. So they start to sing for them. Right on the spot, these girls, Ada and Piper, they start to sing. And their voices are just so angelic that it brings a tear to the eye of Mark Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, wow, I can hear your daddy in your music. And Shawn Michaels with the line of the movie, that's the truth. You know when you watch WWE, like say you're watching Raw, and they play this movie like Pure Country, Pure Heart, available now, and it shows the clip starring Shawn Michaels, and then it plays the clip and it goes, that's the truth. I've heard him say, that's the truth, like fucking 20 million times. Remember when Randy Orton was in this movie with like Woody Harrelson or something like that? Probably not Woody Harrelson. I don't know. He was in this movie, Randy Orton, and he had a cameo role, but they said starring WWE superstar Randy Orton. And then it goes, I'll go to the papers if I have to. I heard that clip so many times. I never watched that movie ever. But it's like this. Shawn Michaels is in this movie for 5 minutes. 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'd say about 5 minutes. And then he's in it again for a little bit later on. But it's about, I know, 8 or 9 lines, if that.
He
delivers them pretty well. But like I told you, I thought he was reading a teleprompter because he kept looking off to the left.
I'll ignore that. That's the truth.
That's the truth.
That's the truth. She says, Mark Dunn, back to the movie. Mark Dunn is like, wow, you girls are lit. You girls need to come over. You girls need to come over and sing for me again.
Yeah, come on over, we'll blaze one and we'll talk about your dad.
Yo, we will spark one up and talk about good times. And they're like, yo, we're down. Like, we'll come over whenever you want. And she's like, all right, well, we'll get in contact. So they exchange information. And that's about it for...
No, she doesn't exchange information. Piper goes, yeah, how about next week?
Yes,
Or when can we come over? And she's like, next weekend? And then Ted, who Shawn Michaels plays Ted, gives them all the info and they're all happy and ready.
That's the truth.
Yeah, but did you know? Okay, so like after that, they go back home to their mother's house, and she doesn't care. She totally buys this whole thing. They've been away for like the past 18 hours because this was all in succession. Like they went from home.
Yes.
To the veteran's home. And then it's like, oh, well,
these are teenage girls. Yeah.
Yeah. They're already halfway to Nashville. Let's just continue on to Nashville. Then they spend the night at Nashville and then come home. And her mother's just like, oh, you were out with the paint horse again?
And they're like, yeah.
They're like, oh, okay. You better get some sleep.
Well, Dave, hold on a second, Dave. Dave, when you were a youngin', which you still are.
Yes. Thank you.
You would not lie to your parents about like going out somewhere. Obviously, like to go meet some crazy country singer and Shawn Michaels late in the night. Like you.
I never lie to my parents, and that's not why. And it's not because my dad listens to this show. Love you, Dad.
Good answer, bartender Dave. Slick on it. Slick on the draw. My mom does not listen to this show. I used to do the old, hey mom, I'm staying at insert friend's name here. I'm staying at Cameron's tonight. I'm staying at so-and-so's tonight. That was the code that was like, mom, listen, you're a fantastic woman in my life, but tonight I'm not coming home.
Not coming home.
Back to this. Sorry. You're right. You know, you're right. Because the mom is like, oh, my daughter's just disappeared for 3 days. And I don't care. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's great. that's the truth. Piper is in the house and she's singing Mark Dunn songs. And Ada is like, hey, you better cut that out. Stop singing Mark Dunn songs around mama. Because, you know, mama will be upset if she finds out we're hanging out with Mark Dunn. She goes, okay, how about I sing some Carrie Underwood instead? She goes, ugh, well, anything but Justin Bieber.
Fair. Yeah, that was a great line. Eh?
I thought the low blow to Carrie Underwood was uncalled for. Underwood is a pretty huge name in country music these days. Mm-hmm. I go to karaoke a lot. Me and Agnew used to go to karaoke like 5 days a week. And right. I would tell you, at least once a night at a karaoke bar, there's always a group of women, and they're all like consoling one of the women in the group. And then when her time to go sing, she will go sing that Carrie Underwood song, and they will all cheer like, "Woo! You don't need no man, yeah. Tell him, Ashley. Tell him." And then she'll be like, "I drove my key," and you know that song. It's about cheating, the cheating song.
Okay.
You don't know that song?
I probably would if I heard it. I can't, like, right off the top of my head. Is she the one that won that reality show?
I think she won American Idol.
American Idol, okay, okay.
That song is just, like, I'm over it, but it's just, like, women love to sing that song because it's about, like, the night before he cheats or something like that. We'll play it at the end of the show. Okay. I just thought, like...
something to look forward to.
I know that, like... women look up to and respect Carrie Underwood because, you know, I can only imagine, you know, trying to be a female country singer and singing about, you know, cheating and stuff like that. Most country songs from men back in the day, you know, Hank Williams, My Cheating Heart, and then the role is reversed and she made it a huge iconic song. I just thought this was a low blow from Ada and Piper in this movie.
Well, maybe they're legit not fans of him.
Well... yes. So they eventually go to Mark Dunn's house and they start to talk and learn all sorts of things about their daddy. Now, Mark Dunn mentions that, hey, does your mama know that you're here? And they go, no, she doesn't. But she says that you should tell her. So I feel... like there is something going on between Mark Dunn and their mama that we don't know about. She tells the girls that, you know, your father and me met both waiting for our mechanic. Then they got it on. Oh wait, that's not what happened. They waited for their mechanic. They met each other. They started to talk and then they realized they were singers and then they started writing songs together and it was fine. Music touches your soul was the purpose of the story here.
Right.
No matter what, music is universal, and I believe in that. And then the friend Justine says, without music – sorry, what was the line? Without music, life would be a mistake.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's very true, Dave. I could not imagine living in a world without music. Ugh, awful. She says that they started recording songs with their father, and then she plays them an old recording of herself and their daddy doing a song. And they play it for the girl. She plays it for the girls, and the girls just start like crying, and they love it. They think it's amazing. However, this is where I'm going to get nitpicky. She plays them what is supposed to be an old recording, was actually just a MacBook with GarageBand opened up on it.
No, it wasn't. It was a full A-track.
No, I saw.
It was a wheel to wheel. They had the.
I saw behind her.
Or reel to reel.
Yeah. Behind her.
Behind it. Yeah, because she had her other stuff. She had to bring this out.
And it was playing the track. I saw it, Dave.
Because she was playing it on that. It was a mistake. Going through into her computer. It wasn't a mistake. I think it was to show that she had everything set up for like present day stuff. And she had to have this reel to reel to play this old one.
Hold on. She's Mark Dunn. Why is she using GarageBand? Even I use Logic. Come on.
I use GarageBand.
Yeah, but she's Mark Dunn. She's Mark Dunn. That's the truth.
I thought it was a real touching scene, though.
So they're basically
for them listening, and then she teaches them how to play it and sing it. I thought it was really, really touching.
Yeah, she says, like, hey, me and your father wrote this song. I'm giving it to you. Here, take this song. So they basically are, like, playing it and singing it. It's a whole jam session. They're sparking one left and right. It's lit. So that was pretty cool. But then Mark Dunn gets a call. She gets a cell phone call during this jam sesh. And she says, excuse me, ladies, I gotta take this. And she comes back and says, are you guys busy tonight? Because you should come with me. Change your plans and meet me here tonight. And bring your boyfriend Declan out. He'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, okay, I wonder what this could be. So later on, they show up to the address that Mark Dunn gave them. And it's this big old church. And they're like, why is Mark Dunn trying to take us to church? This is weird. And then they go inside, and it's actually a music studio, a recording studio inside of a church. Now, I don't know if this actually exists in Nashville. I'm sure it does. But it looks,
yeah, imagine the acoustics. That'd be amazing.
It would be fantastic. I would love to sit in on a recording session inside of this church studio. It looked really cool. It looked lit. Shawn Michaels is in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
He's got more lines, Dave. Oh, wait, maybe he doesn't. I think he just kind of smiles and is looking around or something. They go in there, and Mark Dunn's like, hey, this is the studio I record at. And they're like, wow, like, you invited us to come, like, watch you record a song? Like, that's amazing. She goes, no, I'm not recording a song. You girls are recording a song. And they're like, OMG, WTF. So they make a song. They record a bunch of songs in the church studio, which is pretty cool. And Mark Dunn says, wow, you girls sure know how to write a song. Now record it again, record it better.
Yeah.
So always, if you're working in the music studio, Dave, honesty is my favorite key when you work in a music studio. You can work with someone and they could do 15 recordings of a song, and all 15 of those recordings could be shit. 16 could be the winner, but 34 could be the winner. You gotta be honest. Yeah. And she's like, girls, do it better.
Yeah.
So there was a nice little touch.
Yeah. And they've got really beautiful harmonies together too. The sisters, when they sing together, it's beautiful.
Yeah, like you said, all these people in this movie are singers. They definitely know how to sing. It makes me feel awkward because there's so many random tidbits of scenes, like cut scenes where it's like them singing in their truck, like driving to Nashville and stuff like that. And it's just like, man, like, when I sing in the car, I'm bumping like 50 Cent and, you know, killing each verse. And these girls are here like, I like apples and trees, and it's like everything's so happy. This is a
Did you even watch this movie?
This is like a G-rated movie, so it's like, oh man. It's like me and these girls have so much in common, but we don't at the same time. That's what I'm trying to say. So hey, Dave, what I'm trying to say is, like, they like to sing and belt it out. However, they're professional singers. well, not professional yet, but they're singers, whereas, you know, okay, I don't know. Fuck it.
We're just hacks. You should hear me in my car. It's absolutely terrible.
Last week was Summer Strikes here in the Six. And after the show, myself, Jason Agnew, and bartender Dave got in an Uber pool that I ordered. And Dave and Jason sat in the back. And we all get our seatbelts on and we drive off. And the first thing our Uber driver says to me is, "Would you like the aux cord?" And Jason Agnew just goes, "Ugh, no, don't do that." And then I decided to plug in my phone and start playing music that I was singing along to. So essentially, is what I'm trying to say is, me, you, and Agnew were the three girls in this movie singing along in the car.
No, I never thought of it like that. Yeah. But you're completely right.
Yeah, exactly.
Agnew, speak of the devil.
Agnew just came into my apartment and yelled at me. It's great.
Love you, Jason.
How long has he been listening?
I don't know.
So I think he was doing laundry. So, I think I should be wearing my cowboy hat while recording this. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with you?
Messed up. So they record all these songs in the studio with Mark Dunn, and things are looking very up for them. Things are looking promising. They wanted to figure out more about their daddy and always sang, and then they find out that their daddy was a singer and a songwriter, and everything's just coming into shape for these girls, and they're all happy and excited and amazing. And then it cuts to Mama at the cafe, the restaurant she runs. And Mama is talking to a local and says, "Hey, how's your paint horse? My daughter's bringing you pie this morning." And the woman goes, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Yeah, that's actually Justine's mother.
The actor?
No, that character that she's talking to is Justine's mother, like the girl that they drive around
with. Like, yeah, anyway. They're like, "Hey, like, our daughters are hanging out and they brought you a pie and stuff like that." And she's like, what pie? I don't know what you're talking about. So Mama loses it.
Mm-hmm.
Mama goes ape. Mama is mad. She has realized that her daughters, who she loves and trusts, have been lying to her. Well, if they haven't been taking the pie to Justine's mother to go see the horse, then what are they doing with their spare time? So the Mama rushes home. Meanwhile, the girls are on their way home from Nashville and Mark Dunn, a successful recording sesh with Mark Dunn. They go home and Mama is there. And Mama is mad. And they tell Mama the truth. And Mama says, "You cannot go see Mark Dunn ever again. You are banned from Mark Dunn. You are banned from Nashville. You're just banned from everything. Don't leave your room until you're 20, is what Mom basically says to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Mama decides that she needs to go visit Mark Dunn herself. Because Mima, as you said, Grandma, my favorite character in this movie is Grandma. Mima. She basically talks to Mom and says, "Listen, like, there's no point of being mean and all this to your daughters. Just go talk to her." So she goes to Nashville herself.
Okay, but hold on. You skipped my favorite scene.
I'm sorry.
One of my favorite scenes of the movie was when the daughters, right after Mama loses it and forbids her to do them to do anything else with Mark Dunn, they're sitting out on the swings and they're playing song. Their song
they're singing.
They've been working on. And Meemaw comes out. And she sits there and asks them to play the song and just listens to it, shares a little information about her daddy, their daddy. I found it extremely touching and just really, really heartfelt. And then you could see that what was going through Mima's mind or head, that she was going to talk to their mother, like you were saying. But I loved that scene. I thought it was really, really well done.
Grandma, Mima, listening to the young singers play and just their heartfelt music. Grandma's like, "Yep. That's a banger. We need to get this track out. We can't be having no family feuds. This is a track. We
gotta make some mad ducats off that.
This shit is flames, yo. What are you doing? What are you doing? That hook? Yo, call Mark Dunn up right now, son." So Mom goes to Nashville and she's gonna talk to Mark Dunn. And she talks to her. And what happens here, Dave? Because basically there's Mark Dunn and the Mama. They talk. Basically the storyline is that the father was a wannabe singer. He wanted to be a singer so badly that he started singing with Mark Dunn and writing with Mark Dunn, but then met Mama.
Yeah.
And put it all aside for the family.
Basically, that's exactly what happened. Like, he met Mama and just decided that he was going after love, and it wasn't that he didn't care about his music anymore. Yes. It's just that he decided to choose love over music and went with his mother. And so his mom always felt guilty, like that she had pulled had pulled Brian away from their duo, which in all likelihood was the best thing that happened to Mark Dunn, because then she got big on her own. They might have gotten big together, but the mother had always felt extremely guilty for that, so she had never talked to Mark, and it just created a divide between the two of them. It's not that they were ever best friends or they were ever bitter enemies. They just never talked at all. And like Mark says, that she felt that she always wanted to call the Mama character. Yes. I can't remember her name. Sorry, yeah. I'm just looking at
Mama. Mm.
Yeah.
Mama.
Let's call her Mama. I can't believe I can't remember her name. But anyway, and then she writes her this elaborate apology for taking her away, and they both just go on a nice long walk and decide that they're going to put all their demons to rest and have a nice dinner as friends.
Yes, yeah, I thought that they were alluding to the fact that maybe the father and Mark Dunn was like a secret love affair, and the mom was upset about that. But it wasn't the case. At least they don't go into that.
Yeah.
It was just the fact that he left the music scene to make a family, and then for some reason he joined the Marines and went to Iraq, and then unfortunately was in that grenade attack and died saving a man.
And that's a good point. That, like, throughout the whole movie, they talk about the relationship with Brian and Mark, but they never once bring up anything that could be even construed as sexual. Like, it always seems like they both had a love for music, and they both saw promise in each other as that, and they were just really good friends. And but I don't know if I buy it, but they never do allude to anything sexual.
Well, I mean, Nashville is a city of love. That's definitely not the right. It's music. City of music. Yeah, whatever.
Music city.
Yeah, music city. I don't know. When I went, my mom's a huge Elvis fan. And instead of going to Memphis, I just went to a gift shop in Nashville and got her Elvis salt and pepper shakers and said, yeah, they're from Memphis. She's like, really? I said, no, they're from Nashville.
You're a real terrible son.
But I got the salt and pepper shakers. Come on.
Okay, man. Good point.
So the dad put it all to the side for the family, and Mark Dunn made it big, and Mama feels everything is okay now. Mama's like, you know what? This is great. I'm glad we had this talk, but now there's something that we need to do. So they realized, Mark Dunn and Mama tell the girls, or was it Mama that tells the girls that there is a
special? Well, yeah, because before we get to that, Mama actually asks Mark Dunn to continue helping the girls with their music.
Yes.
And Mark agrees to it.
Of course.
And then Mama comes home a new woman with a new outlook on everything and tells the girls the good news that they're invited to a veterans concert or a veterans benefit concert that Mark is playing with, and the whole county is invited.
Oh, baby.
I couldn't believe it. Oh, how about this person? Can they come? Yeah. How about this person? Can they come? Sure.
Hey, we don't want to pay any other spare actors, so let's just get all the other spare actors and bring them all into one scene. Let's do that.
Yeah, and then they end up going to the nursing home or the veterans nursing home with a shit ton of pies.
So
they get CJ to come and Monroe as well.
Oh my God, it's just a party. So they go to this vet memorial concert thing, and they go there and they're watching, and they know that Mark Dunn is supposed to be performing, and they're excited to watch this. So they're with CJ, they're with Monroe, the whole gang is there, and they get their seats with Mama, with Grandma, with everyone. My favorite part is so CJ meets up with them right as they're getting their seats for this vet memorial show. And CJ's the old man who's not creepy, remember?
Not creepy at all.
He goes up to Mima, Grandma, and says, you're the one who's been making these pies. Everyone laughs and goes, ha ha ha. And Grandma, Mima, she blushes. And CJ says, hey, Grandma, you're very talented. And Grandma goes, oh, I have many talents. And then everyone goes, ooh, ha ha ha, and laughs it off. Like, what? This is a G-rated, this is a family movie. Grandma. Yeah,
he just proved you wrong. He is creepy.
Grandma's
creepy.
Grandma.
Yeah, it's Grandma that's creepy.
Damn, Grandma, you nasty. You freak, Grandma. She's like, hey, you want some more pie? You come to me after this show. We'll have some pie. It'll be great. Strawberry rhubarb. So, Grandma, favorite character in this movie.
Yeah,
they invite Declan, Ada's boyfriend, who is also a singer from Kitchen Backsplash. They do not make a cameo, just him. The show starts, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because, Dave, Willie Nelson.
One and only.
He's performing at this Vet Memorial Concert show. He comes out and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, I can't do a good Willie voice. I haven't smoked enough today. he says, there is a man who unfortunately lost his life, but he's got two wonderful daughters who are carrying on his legacy, and they themselves sing. So I would like to invite them up here to sing with me.
Okay.
Dave, I'm doing spark notes and you fill in the rest. Go. Okay.
So Willie Nelson comes up and like, okay, I texted you when I first watched this and that I was like, I really liked the movie, but the ending blew it for me.
Yeah.
Now when I rewatched it just this time right now, just before we started recording, I missed a bunch of stuff when Willie Nelson came out, because Willie Nelson, like, I thought, oh, come on, this guy's going to come out, start singing a song and invite these two girls that have nothing to do with nothing out on stage except for Mark Bell. And then Mark Bell comes out and they're all singing Mark this one Dunn. Song together. Mark Dunn. Sorry, I'm going to a real name.
That's
but anyway,
the truth.
Yeah. And, oh, my God. And but he says there's a man who was killed in Iraq. His name is Brian Spencer, and he was a singer songwriter. And I want to sing his song for this benefit. And he has two daughters that are that are singers as well. And they're in the audience right now. And I'd like to call them up to sing it. So it made a bit more sense to me. And I actually really enjoyed the ending this time.
I picture you watching it the first time. It's like late at night. Your kids and wife are asleep. And you're like, oh, I got to watch this fucking movie. You probably had a few. You're kicking back. And then all of a sudden you're like, what? Willie Nelson just brings out these two girls to sing? What is this? You're like throwing popcorn at your
TV. I'm crying the whole way through thinking this is the most emotional movie I've ever seen. And then the ending hits and I'm like, done.
I'm out. What is this? What is this BS?
But I thought it was really touching. And Willie Nelson described country music beautifully in this scene. What because he's talking to, I think it's Declan who was about to play the guitar or somebody was playing the guitar. Sure. And he looks at the guitar and he's like, you know how country music is. Country music is just three chords and the truth.
Mm.
And I thought, that's phenomenal. Just bars. Beautifully.
So he brings up the daughters. They perform. Mark Dunn comes out. She starts singing. Dave, I think this is the only time in this movie where I'm actually allowed to say this. It actually makes sense. It was lit.
It really was.
Because
really
Willie Nelson was there. So you know he was lit. I was looking at him like,
sure
I'm
was.
Like, how many bowls did you hit before doing this scene? Yeah. So
they were in editing trying to get his eyes white.
They got like strings up. It's like Weekend at Bernie's. Willie Nelson is he's in this, he's on the cover.
Yeah.
They advertise him as the main star. He's on the box art of this movie. I'm looking at it right now. He's on it.
Yeah.
It says his name at the top of it, Willie Nelson, the key actor in this movie, starring Willie Nelson. Dude is in it less than Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, yeah. But he was brought up like three or four times during the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And he shredded it. He was great.
He shreds it. Dave, what's your favorite Willie Nelson song?
Blue Skies.
I don't even think I know that one. Like
blue skies smiling at me, nothing but blue skies. Do I see? No.
My favorite Willie Nelson song. This is not a joke. It's a duet with Julio Iglesias.
It's All the Girls?
To All the Girls I've Loved Before. I know every word.
Okay, have you done that at karaoke?
No. No, I feel like that song doesn't hold up in 2017. It's kind of creepy. They're basically singing to every girl they've ever hooked up with. And it's like, remember me. So it's just weird, but I love that song.
I can't even sing that song. I'm still with my
You got to hold your nose. Yeah. To all the girls I've held hands with before.
That'd be two.
You would have to. I'm not giving out numbers on this show, Dave. Willie Nelson, the girls, they all sing. Mark Dunn comes out. It's lit. It's crazy. Where the fuck is Shawn Michaels?
Oh, he's in the back. He's keeping watch. He's making sure. He's the bodyguard, man.
He's always keeping watch. Everyone celebrates and
every direction.
And the credits roll, Dave.
Yeah.
The credits are out. That's it.
End scene.
That's where it leaves us off. It basically is telling us everything for these girls works out. This is the pinnacle. This is the start of their new life. Dave, this is the end of this movie.
Yes.
But to do some fantasy booking here.
Yes.
What happens with these characters next? It doesn't tell us what happens next. It just cuts it off and says, that's it.
Fantasy booking on this one?
Yeah, the girls become famous singers, no?
I'm going to say that, Mark Dunn starts, or Mark, that's the right one, right? Mark Dunn starts helping Piper and Ada with their career. They start getting some traction going on. Ada and Declan start getting really, really hot and heavy. And
they start holding hands, Dave.
Yeah, they start holding hands, and Ada finally figures out, you know what? I don't need you, Piper. Ooh. I'm going to go with Declan. Declan's going to be my guitarist. Ooh. We're going to put some beautiful music together. And then Piper goes back to Meemaw's house and cries.
Damn, eat some pies. That's pretty good fantasy booking.
How about you?
I would say that they record a full-length studio album at Mark Dunn's house. However, in signing their first ever contract for a record label, it turns out that Mark Dunn actually screws them over and they only get 15% of the profits of their debut album that goes number one on the country charts.
Oh, yours is way better than mine.
Hey, country
music. I can't believe we're fantasy booking a country movie.
Dave, pure country, pure heart. 67% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is not that bad for a straight to DVD or digital release country music movie that is rated G.
I give it four guitar strings out of six.
Four guitar strings out of six. Listen, Dave, I laughed. I cried. I super kicked. It was fantastic. No, sure. I'll give it, what did you say? Four out of six? That's such a weird rating because there's six strings of guitar.
Six strings, yeah.
I'm going to give it seven Willie Nelson joints out of 10. That's what I'm rating this movie. Because honestly, if you still happen to be listening to us, you still did not turn this off of this
review. Our ending's way better than the ending of the movie, by the way.
No, we don't have Willie Nelson. Come on.
Well, I guess so.
If you are like listening, and it has nothing to do with wrestling at all. Like legit, there is nothing to do with wrestling. Shawn Michaels is in this movie for a total runtime of maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
However, if you have kids and you always wondering, I don't want them to see things with vulgar or anything, this is quite fine. I don't know if kids would super be into it, but
no.
Kids, young girls maybe who are interested in music would probably be interested. That's definitely who this is targeted to, is teenage girls. So if you have a teenage girl, show them this movie. Maybe they will like it.
In all honesty, it's a solid movie, and it's only an hour and 24 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
you can
spend
bang
more
it out
time
no problem,
playing
yeah.
video games today than that. Like, come on.
Yeah. So I honestly thought going into this that I would really despise this movie, and it was just whatever. I feel like if I watch the other one that Shawn Michaels is in, the Resurrection of Gavin Stone, which is more of a religious, I was gonna say spiritual, but
extremely religious.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'm ready for that. And
no, let's do it, man. We were both brought up Catholic,
so maybe that'll be on the bucket list. Dave, we've never really reviewed a movie, me and you.
This is the first time I ever did. I had no idea there was going to be so much writing in this.
Yes, because it's like there's so many things going on. Go check out Pure Country, Pure Heart. Dave, I had to spend $4.99 on a YouTube rental for this movie.
I bought it for $15 on iTunes.
You bought it for $15?
Okay, no, wait. This is the first time that I've ever been on Review Away.
Fair.
Okay? The first time I'm ever going to review a movie, I want to keep something for myself.
That's the truth.
I have the beauty that is Pure Country, Pure
Heart. Wow. Fantastic. Dave, yeah. I posted up a feedback thread for this movie, but I honestly wrote this in the feedback. I said, we don't actually expect anyone else to watch this, but if you did, post some feedback. And we got three, and they're not great, but I'm just going to quickly... Someone says, Ryan from Calgary, no.
Oh, no, there's more than three now.
Oh, sorry. Ryan from Calgary says, no.
Oh, no, there is only three. Forget it. go on. Sorry, I'll stop.
No, just no. I won't watch this. It makes me very happy to know you are going to sit through it and watch it. I will go watch Saved, which is the Christian community movie. I think he's thinking of a different... I think he thinks we watched The Gavin Stone.
I don't know. Sure. Yeah.
He says, hey, because this movie that we just watched is clearly like a rated G movie, like it's clear for kids, essentially. Mm-hmm. He says, do you think there's room for R-rated movies on the WWE Network?
Or no, an R-rated version of wrestling on the WWE Network.
This has nothing to do with this movie. This feedback has nothing to do with this movie at all. All right, let's go on to the next one.
It says,
here's feedback for NXT. Great, awesome, more feedback. And the last bit of feedback from Brad, and this is to end off our feedback, God bless you two brave men.
Hooray!
That's the truth. That's the truth. Okay, that's it. We did it, Dave. I'm going to go listen to some Johnny Cash, some... What's the other?
Steve Earle, man.
Steve Earle.
He's great.
I'm
going
to go listen to some Florida Georgia Line, some Old Dominion, some... I don't even know. I'm not going to do that at all. Save a horse. Well,
if you want to come see me, I'm at Bryden's on Bloor, 2455 Bloor Street West, right at the corner of Bloor and Jane. You can follow us there at Bryden's on Bloor. Follow me at Bartender Dave 74. And I want to say a big thank you to John and Wei for even considering us to be on this show. Dream come true. Great movie.
If you are in Toronto, go visit Dave at Bryden's. Buy him. What's the most like country drink that someone could buy you? Like
whiskey.
A Southern Comfort and sweet tea.
How about a Jack and a beer back?
A Jack and a beer back? Is that where you take the shot and drink the beer?
Yep.
Okay.
Just shot a Jack and drink the beer. What about what's that? The tequila with the Tabasco.
Oh, Prairie Fire. No,
there we
go.
That's
disgusting. That's not a country drink at all. Terrible.
It says prairie.
Bartender Dave 74 on Twitter, at the Bray D, Twitter and Instagram, liveaudiowrestling.com for all of our shows, including this ridiculous one that you just listened to. me and Dave and Agnew, we are a three-man rotating show for What's Next. We have shows every Thursdays about NXT. Please listen to that. We actually have people who give feedback for those shows, so you know that'll be okay.
Love it.
That's it. We're getting out of here, Dave. Any last words?
My, what a lovely tea party.
Okay. Goodbye. Be safe. That's the truth.
That's the truth. I'm
glad I can see your daddy and you do.
That's the truth. I dedicate this song to all the girls I've loved before. To all the girls I once caressed. And may I say I've been the best. For